it wasn't that funny. I told you, I realized it wasn't good.
Okay.
Like, I wrote it down. When I wrote it down, it was gold.
Right.
And then, just as I'm about to open my mouth with the microphone here, I recognize that it's terrible.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you recognizing that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to tell you.
Hello and welcome to episode 264 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam? Well, Amazon, get the Amazon stuff out of the way first.
Oh yeah, buy stuff. Buy stuff on Amazon.
People click through. I have a question, actually.
Sure.
Because I was, long story short, I was trying to fix the website because it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are telling us that when they go on the mobile version, like on their iPhone, iPad, or something like that,
yeah,
the Amazon links basically they show up at the bottom of the screen, way down.
Yes,
and that's a problem. So we're missing out on revenue for that reason, apparently. So I've been trying to fix that, trying to get them at the top.
Okay.
I can't figure it out. I'm not that strong a swimmer. Okay.
Okay.
So, in doing that, I recognized that I had the Amazon links on twice. I had them on as hot links or whatever they call them, like the banners.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had them on as text links for some reason because people were having trouble with the links before. But I sorted out the banners.
Okay.
I'm told people might still be having problems with the banners. Like it's like if they're running an ad blocker on their browser, then it won't allow them to click on the banner, even though they want to click on the banner.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding. So I'd like to hear from somebody, let me know. Are you having trouble with the banners? Do I need to put those text links back up? I thought it was redundant. Maybe it's not.
Mm. Okay.
So there you go.
That's big. That's big.
So we do appreciate you clicking. Well, you're not going to click through if it's a hassle, are you?
No. I don't even bother.
No. I actually bought something the other day and just quickly purchased it and realized, whoops, I didn't click through our site.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, very quickly, within milliseconds, because I'm that fast, I went and canceled the order.
Really?
And then clicked on our site and reordered that thing through our site.
Wow!
And I bought a carbon monoxide detector.
Good to have.
It is good to have. I just realized we didn't have one in the house, and I have always thought, hey, you better have one of those.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have.
So that should arrive. I thought it was coming today. It'll be here tomorrow. Good news.
I did get my green screen and my CF card. So I'm all
sorted. You ordered a new green screen?
Well, I did like I wanted one that I could transport. So I'd been using a green paper roll. So I got a big kind of basically a big green sheet.
Okay.
Like it's thicker than a sheet, but it's essentially that. And it's got like a little at the top, it's got kind of a sleeve to go into the crossbar of my my background mm-hmm. stand. And yeah, basically it's great because with green screen, you're not worried about any wrinkles in the background because you're just taking the background out anyway. So as far as, you know, wanting to do something on location, this is a far better way to go because it just folds up into a bag and I throw it in the back of the truck versus dealing with a 10-foot long paper roll to transport. Not a fun thing to transport.
No, good call.
So I highly recommend it. Basically what happened is I ran out of my green paper roll and I thought, okay, what do I do now? Do I replace it? And at a cost of, I think they're about $50. Like you can go on Amazon mm-hmm. and get, there's a bunch of different ones. And I just picked one that had good reviews and it's exactly as advertised. I do like the fact that it had a pre-sewn in sort of seam for the crossbar because I didn't want to have to worry about putting up clips to hold the thing up there or anything. So that makes it infinitely simpler. So there
you
go.
But do you have to wind the nut off of the bar to slide it through?
No.
It's big enough. Nah, good. So the black and the white muslin ones I have, you have to crank the the nut off.
No, there's no cranking anything off of anything. Just slides on. Very simple.
No, no, yours is terrible then.
Yeah, and it's about 10, I want to say it's about 10 feet by, I want to say 12, maybe 10 by 12 feet. So enough that you pull down and pull it out the front. So if you wanted to do a full length shot, then you, mm-hmm. you certainly could.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
And my CF card works. So now the 5D's got, well, the counter for images on the 5D only goes up to 999. So mm-hmm. it shows I have at least 999 photos with a 32 gig card in there at full resolution. So full raw will give you more than 1,000. So I'm pretty sure I'm sorted for a while.
Yeah, you're looking at, probably 2,000 images.
Yeah. I think
roughly. I think I get around 256 on a 4 gig card, something like that.
Well, there you go.
I mean, ballpark. I know it's raw, and raw is supposed to be raw, and it's supposed to be the exact same file size, but it actually varies slightly.
Okay.
But usually around, like, depending on, I forget what that one is. That's like 12 megabytes or something like that. Something like that.
And I saw you know an email from a listener regarding you know buying an adapter for an SD card and doing it that way, and my take on it is you know a 32 gig CF card was $55 I think is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. I'm not dealing with adapters and that sort of extra. To me, I'll just go with the CF card. I'm pretty sure the CF card is going to work like a charm. And if I ever, you know, go to another camera at some point that uses a CF card, this is a rock solid card as well. But I'm not big on the little adapters and that kind of stuff. It's just, it's not for me. I'm not saying it's not for everybody, just not for me.
I don't like adding more potential points of failure.
Mm, yeah.
That's what I don't like. So I hear you. I'm not a fan of the adapter either. I also, rounding out my purchases this week, odd combo, carbon monoxide detector and some compression shorts for baseball.
Nice.
Okay, they're Spanx.
Okay, it's a girdle. It's a man girdle.
You got it. It's a myrtle. You got it out of me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still probably not going to sort out your muffin top.
No, it makes it worse, actually. Yeah, ironically. Yeah, the guy, someone at the gym the other day told me, hey, I said to them, you know, I wear black because black is very, it's very slimming. And the guy said, so is exercise. Just
right,
kidding.
Right.
Germans don't make jokes. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it was good anyways, though.
Mm-hmm. So, Amazon out of the way. What is, what's going on life-wise?
Nothing. No, it's another day in paradise. Yeah, no,
January.
I can't. I can't. It rains a lot here. It's not particularly cold here, but it rains a lot, and it's just blah.
Nice.
That's it. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Well, it's nice and cold here nonstop, so it's been kind of nice. I've ruined my wife.
Uh oh.
She used to be a very nice person.
Okay.
And you'd think once we got married, perhaps her niceness would rub off on me, but it went the other way.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So I mean, how's that manifesting?
Well, she even came home the other day, and she basically said, "You ruined me."
Did she punch a neighbor in the face?
Oh no! I wish it was that. That'd be awesome. No, no. It's just, long story short, she went to the gas station where gas is almost free now. What's that? What's going on here? But she went in to pull in. There's like four pumps. And, like, nobody at the pump. She's behind this one guy, and he drives up and stops at the first pump.
Yeah.
So she had to then back, pull around him and cut and then swerve in. And she was so angry, she got out of the car and just started chirping him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was awesome. She's just like, what is that, the special pump? Is that free gas? Like, just going off on him. And then she realized, oh, my God,
I'm Al.
Yeah.
I'm totally Al-ing this guy right now.
She wasn't wrong, though.
No, no, but yeah, you can just keep that one tucked neatly into your back pocket, yeah.
No.
And
Let her rip.
And I'm sure it wasn't intentional. It was clueless.
Not the point.
Clueless, but not intentional. Mm-hmm. I think I should sit your wife down and have a chat with her.
I think this, no, listen, now, this, interesting.
Let me be the voice of reason.
No, you're not the voice of reason. I'm the voice of reason. I said to her, listen, I completely support you on this, and had I been there, I would have fought the guy if I had to.
Both of you should go to anger management class.
No, but it was not anger, though.
Oh, it was pure anger. It was venom. She was spitting venom.
Probably. Yeah. But as I explained to her, I'm tired of going through life pretending that guy isn't an idiot. He should go through life pretending he's not an idiot.
Okay, I think that's what he's doing.
No, he's doesn't aware. He's not pretending at all. He's just being clueless. He's clueful now. Now he knows. Don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that.
So she taught him a lesson.
She learned him up real good.
She made the world a better place for people going to gas stations.
Meh. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And then a completely different, just changing gears entirely.
All right. A
weird story that I can't make sense of.
Okay, I have a weird story too.
Does yours involve manure?
No, but mine does involve photography.
Okay, we'll end on yours then. So it snowed here last week.
Okay.
And then unlike in Vancouver when it snows, if and when it snows, usually it snows, 2 days later it's melted.
Okay.
Right? I mean, how often does the snow stick around for a week in Vancouver? Never.
Right.
Right. So here, it sticks around, though. If it snows, it'll stick. So it's been a week. And so we live kind of out towards the woods and there's open fields and the forest, and it's pretty awesome, pretty idyllic. And then so it's when it snows, wow, it's awesome. And we back right onto it. So it's fantastic.
Right.
And so the snow falls, and we got this great, day one, it's just amazing. And then the second day, we take the kids just a short walk behind our house. We go to the toboggan hill, and all the neighborhood kids are there. Everyone's having a great time. And then right in the middle of this, we look up in the field right there. There's a giant truck just spreading manure all over the snow.
Horse,
cow. I don't know. I didn't do some DNA testing on it, but just covering the field. I don't. They don't grow anything there. I don't know what he's doing. But basically, every field around, not just that field, but every field around, he just decided this guy is just going to huck manure on top of all the snow. But it hasn't melted and it hasn't snowed. Snown or snowed?
Snowed.
Okay, you're busy doing something else. That's fine.
No, it snowed.
Okay, it hasn't snowed since. So right. Now we have just basically just a field of manure on top of snow.
Okay.
That's, what?
That's bad?
Would you like it?
How did this affect your life?
Because there's supposed to be idyllic snow fields that we can go on walks with my kids.
Right.
And now it's manure.
So that's bad.
Have you ever had a manure fight?
No.
I should have said manure ball fight, really, was the joke. And
right. Still, yeah. I got the point, manure
fight. Well, I'm reading something else right now. I'm in the middle of a book. But I couldn't figure that out. And then nobody knows. Everyone who was there was looking around like, wow. I feel like you could have picked it. 2 days ago, you could have done. And then I guess it would have just been a layer under the snow. But that would not have been any better.
Right.
But point being is that, so on the way home from kindergarten, where I took my kids, bringing them home on the sled, that's the kind of the fun part, and coming home on the sled, and on the way home, we go down this path, and there's on either side of the path is a field, which is now covered in manure.
Right.
But the guy had to get from one field to the other, and so a little bit of manure spilled onto the path in this one particular spot.
Okay.
Which happens to coincide with the exact spot my son fell off the sled. I don't know. That one's on my son, though.
Yeah, that's
that
his
one.
Fault.
I blame him. Yeah. You could have fallen off anywhere else, but no, just face first into the manure. So that was a good day.
Yeah, that's not.
I just left him there. I'll get a new son. Come on.
You just bring a hose with you.
It wasn't even the fact that didn't have to clean up that mess. Come on, kid. Can you do better than that?
Right. Yeah.
Anyways. All right. So what's your photo story?
I
said aggressively for no reason.
My wife showed me this maybe you've come across it. I think it's gone viral. I think it's a photographer out of Edmonton. And it was, I believe it was on Facebook. So don't quote me on that.
Is this a cup of tea?
No, this is some guy who did a mock-up of a boudoir shoot. Did you see this?
No, I saw the cup of tea being hucked in the frozen air.
Oh my God, it's a guy who does this kind of mockery of a boudoir shoot, and it's there's definitely like a George Costanza like pose like on a sofa at one point, but it just gets more and more and more ridiculous as it goes, to the point where I was like, all right, I can't have it go any further. I didn't see the last few pictures because it got insanely ridiculous. But yeah, I think he's from Edmonton, I think is what my wife said. Yeah, it's gone viral and it is very funny. And the pictures, at least the first few before it gets so insanely ridiculous, are basically exactly what you see when you see boudoir photos. Like, it's the classic poses, and it's just so funny when you flip the script from female to male, and basically, you know, it's all lit very well. Like, the person who's doing it really knows boudoir photography, but it is definitely worth a laugh. So I'm sure it's one of those things that a lot of people probably have come across at this point. I couldn't get to the end, so we'll see if you can.
Okay. I don't know. I can't find it. Did you send it to me?
No. Should I do that?
Well, not now. Before you started talking, then I could look at it. But now my search history has male boudoir Edmonton, and so
yeah, that's not a good place to start. And I could be wrong about the Edmonton part too. So I'm sure if you go into Facebook and do a, can you search things in Facebook? Can you, is that a thing?
Who do you think you're talking to?
I don't know. Yeah. So,
anyways,
it's a mockery of a male boudoir shoot. I thought it was funny. So
I will check that out. I will check that out. That sounds funny.
Yeah.
On Facebook, evidently, a bunch of my friends are getting hacked, and some weird stuff's going on.
Oh yeah. Like, how do you? What do you mean in a hack? Like, someone's posting on their Facebook site as if it's them?
I think so.
Huh. And what would be the advantage to doing that for a hacker?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't really know how much. I don't know.
Like, I get hacking your bank accounts. I'm not sure I get hacking your Facebook account.
I'm just,
let's see what Adam's friends are up to.
Yeah.
From high school. Yeah. With Adam's high school friends.
Wow, she got fat.
Exactly.
Whoever hacks me, when you figure out my password, just let me know what it is.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Come on. I don't know my own passwords, so good for you. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
Speaking of hack, though, okay. You and I both pulled a photo life hack.
A photo life hack. I don't.
A life photo hack.
I don't even understand.
Hack photo life. We hacked the system, man.
Okay.
Here's what I needed. I'll explain what I needed. I ordered some photos actually a while ago, and then I bought some frames.
Okay.
And they do things in something called the metric system here.
Okay.
Which I know we have in Canada, but we still call it, you know, 8x10s, 8x12s, you know, in terms of for photos. But here they just go the full on 10x15, whatever, 20x30. So I get the frames, mm-hmm. and it says 20x30, and so I order a 20x30, which is essentially an 8x12,
okay,
for the most part, and I get it back.
Because 20x30 is in centimeters.
Right.
Right. Just clarifying. Just clarifying for the audience the whole metric system. Yeah.
They know.
Centimeters. Yeah.
So I go bring, you know, I get the print and I pop it in the frame, and it doesn't fit. It's too small. And I look closely, and yes, it's actually not, the frame is not 20x30. It's actually the A4 or whatever size that is. So it's like, it's whatever it is, 22 centimeters by 29.7.
Okay, that seems like a very universal sizing system.
You think? I mean, it is. It is. Well, documents are that size.
Okay.
So I said, okay, that's fine, but now you have to make prints that size. You can't just mix and match. And if it's a little bit, if the print's slightly bigger, that's okay. I can deal with that.
Right.
But they're not. So all of a sudden, now I just have like a little, you know, a little line at the bottom of my pictures between the mat and the photo. It looks terrible.
That's not good. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that I think you would throw yourself off of a balcony for.
Yeah, and so I had him on my wall, and then I sprung into action, and just watched a bunch of television. And then like 6 months later, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, oh, geez, like what? I have to hack this. So for Christmas time, this is like months ago, right? It's like 6 months ago.
Okay.
And it just sat there for 6 months because coincidentally, the pictures, the two pictures that it affected, I lined it up so that part of the picture that was sort of like brown, the bottom of the photos were both brown, and the background behind the mat was like was wood, right? Like the wood piece.
Yeah.
So it kind of blended in, so it wasn't distracting unless you went up and looked at it.
Okay.
But still, I didn't want it. I wanted it to be.
I still know that would bug the crap out of you.
It did. It did. Yeah. And so anyway, so for Christmas, I bought the in-laws a couple of frames and wanted to get some you know, the grandkids printed. But now I ran into the same issue. I'm not going to go get a 20 by 30 again. And I can't find, like, the frames are pretty standard here. And they're good frames except for 22 by 30, right?
Right.
So what do you do? So I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to get a bigger picture and then print it how I want it and, you know, with white border around it. And then I realized, hey, look at this. They have a 30 by 45 option.
Okay.
But a 30 by 45 is cut in half, is 30 by, is 22 and a half by 30. Blam. That's going to fit perfect twice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I now basically go into Photoshop, put two photos together, print that out as one, get it home, cut it. Bob's your uncle. It fits in perfectly.
Yeah, that's just good math.
System hacked.
Yes.
Cheaper. No, none. And cheaper. Getting one 30 by 45 cheaper than two 20 by 30s.
I know. I don't understand how that works.
Yeah, I don't really know either, but here we are. Now, you told me you did the exact same thing.
Yeah, coincidentally, I did. And what I was doing was trying to do a team panorama photo. I think we spoke. I was going to do this green screen my kids' hockey team. So take individual shots of the kids and kind of build a big kind of panoramic team photo, which I did at the rink last weekend. And so I wanted to print it out as sort of like a one high by three wide aspect ratio. And mm-hmm. So I was, again, I like to get prints done at Costco because they do a good job and it's super cheap. And so I thought the same thing. Well, if it's one by three is what I want for the panorama, then that equals, you know, a standard 2x3 or 4x6, or go up and do the math. What I figured on was a 12x18 split in half would be my 1x3. So I could take a big 12x18, layer my photo, my panorama on it twice, top and bottom, and then basically print the 12x18, slit it down the middle, and then you got two nice panorama shots for, guess the price on this one. So what's a 12x18 cost at Costco, do you figure?
12x18?
Yeah.
$140.
$6. In fact, it's $5.99. So I could basically print them out for the team at a cost of $3 a photo. Now, again, there's tax and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, essentially all in for under $4, you get
a... How do you cut them?
Paper cutter.
Okay, so you have a paper cutter.
Yes, I have a paper cutter.
That is key. I had a paper cutter when I lived in Vancouver, and that's something I just never bothered to bring with me, and I can't seem to find one that I like here, believe it or not. I'm sure I'll track one down, but for a couple years now, a few years, I've had no paper cutter, which, surprisingly, is a pain.
Yeah, having a paper cutter to do this is much easier, and I would not recommend trying to X-Acto knife this kind of thing, because if you lose your edge or whatever, or it doesn't make a perfectly clean cut. So definitely, if this is something you plan on doing in large batches, I would suggest a paper cutter.
Yes, and for me, I for the ones I was just talking about, I use scissors because there's a mat, and it doesn't matter. Like, I did have a little bleed room.
Yeah.
A centimeter to deal with. So it didn't matter.
And then and the nice thing about this too is if you're giving them, you know, out to people or whatnot at this price point, I'm not even like people say, well, you know, I was thinking in my head, what about a frame for this? And I just thought, you know, at this cost, I'm gonna literally stick it up with pins on my kid's wall. If you mm-hmm. wanna track down and or manufacture some kind of frame for us, go for it. But I think the print looks best in this kind of panorama style, but I wasn't worried about the frame side of things. Not at this price point.
Are you charging people or footing the bill?
No, they're all gonna pay for the cost of printing. So no cost of any of the work or anything, just literally mm-hmm. the cost of the prints. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I thought that was fair. I didn't want to make this, like, I offered to do it because I thought that the tournament did a poor job, and I thought I could do much better and make it more individual, which I did, and, you know, basically use their team colors and banners and all of the rest. But because I offered it, I was certainly not gonna charge for it.
Are you going to mail one to the guy that they had hired to do it and say, hey, seriously?
Yeah, I might do that. Or just basically carry one around in my jacket and just pull it out at every chance I get to sort of dangle it in front of people. but it is one of those things that, again, I've talked about green screen in the past, is very easy to do once you have a few reps under your belt. Now, the one thing about hockey arenas are, I did all this in a hockey arena, set up the green screen and everything. Hockey arenas are very dark. So when I did it at the baseball diamond in the evening, I didn't really even have to worry about, you know, too much in the way of lighting the paper, because I had enough ambient light that I could do a pretty good job with keeping the paper lit. In a hockey arena, different story. So I had a full three light setup to pull this off, like two for the background and.
You do get consistency then, though. So
you get perfect consistency. So that was easy when it came to pulling all the kids off of the background. That part was way easier when you have this much control over your settings.
Nice.
Yeah. So something to do.
And perhaps we'll see that next week. If you get
I'm gonna ask the team, because I just did this in the last 2 days ago. I finished the photo, so I'm gonna ask the team this weekend. And as long as everyone says it's okay, I'll post it probably on my website or something.
Got it.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, not other than that.
Okay. Well, that was last. Yeah, it was okay. That was.
It was since our podcast. Yeah, it was since
right. Good news for me is the snow here has really snapped me out of my funk, like I thought it would.
Right.
And so there's been a lot of shooting, different setup, different lenses. Like I just take, I won't take multiple lenses out. I'll just take you know, one setup out when we go out sledding or whatever like that. But the next time I'll maybe take something different, just to kind of change it all up.
Right.
But there's been a lot of shooting out in the yard and running around and backlighting snow, and that's been kind of fun, and so I've been shooting a lot more photos this week, so I'm kind of glad that and I shot one when we went sledding. I posted it on my Facebook, and I'll post it on the two hosers of my daughter wiping out.
Yeah, it's pretty gruesome. I had to turn away at one point.
No.
It's kind of like the male boudoir shot, so I couldn't watch anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Now, no, she's a trooper. She got right back up, had a good laugh about it. It was pretty funny, cuz when you see the picture, obviously it looks worse than it was.
Yeah.
It was just nice that I happened to be, you know, ready to shoot at that moment.
Did she get a face raspberry or anything?
No. She was fine. The snow was soft enough that it was fine.
Right.
She wasn't like into the ice or anything like that. So, no, it was pretty funny because the whole hill, even though there's nobody behind her in the shot, the whole hill was like a lot of people there. And so with their kids. So when she wiped out, everyone kind of, and I was way down the hill. I had the 70 to 200 with the 40D. So I'm way down the hill zooming in to get a good, you know, get a good shot. And she goes down and just kind of lays there. Everyone's like, and I didn't move. I was like, all right, you're fine. And she jumped up and laughed, had a big laugh, and got on the sled and came right back down.
I showed my kids the photo this morning, and Sarah's first comment was, what's she falling off of? And I said, that's a sled. And she's like, no, it isn't. Looks like a bench. Mean? Yeah. Well, because their reference of sleds are like those, you know, big plastic, you know, circles and crazy carpets. And they've never seen a wooden sled that looks like that before. Let's put it this
really?
Way. Yeah, that's out of the dark ages, that thing.
They're very popular here.
Wow.
And they're fun. They're great fun. You're missing. I had one in Canada.
The fact that it sits like that, whatever, 2 feet off the ground like that. I mean, to me, as a person that treats people's injuries, that to me looks like a death trap.
No, not if you know what you're doing. Okay. Which evidently she doesn't. But she now should, she does.
She should go to toboggan school.
Oh no, she teaches the class now. It's funny how fast you learn when you wipe out like that.
Yeah.
It was great. No, your kid, the only thing, like the ones here, the one I had as a kid actually had steering on it. It had handles in the front. So you could lay on your stomach and you could actually steer right and left. and the runners would move. And then this one, it doesn't. So you steer with your feet, right? You just drag your heel on either side just to steer in that direction. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
She was sitting way too far forward, though. And again, she learned her lesson, so it was good.
Okay, well, I'm glad.
But the important thing was she got back on it and kept doing it. That's always the thing I am concerned about.
That and the fact she could wiggle her toes.
Oh, I didn't bother checking for that. No, she was fine. They were pretty cold anyway. She was fine. All right.
How's her memory?
It was never good to start with, so it's hard. No real benchmark.
Okay. All right. She's fine. No, shake it
she's
off.
She's fine. She once she was done throwing up, yeah, totally fine. She had a short nap.
Right.
It was all good. She was fine.
Okay.
Photo challenge. Now, this week's photo challenge was a kind of, did I describe it well enough last week? The shallow background.
Right. You said shoot in front of a wall, so that's what I did.
For example, and yeah, you did. So let's have a look at yours right there. Bam.
Wall.
There's your wall. And my favorite part of this photo is your wife is thrilled.
I chose that. I took about 5 photos, and I definitely chose this one intentionally for the fact that she isn't, because that's kind of, I wanted sort of a bit of a mood in the photo. I shot this in a way that I never shoot photos, so that's kind of why I opted to do this or pick this this particular setup. Is this? I never use just straight hard light. This is completely one bare flash at relatively close range, like up high on a stand, right up against the wall. And I just wanted hard shadow, hard lines. I chose the brick wall. That's the only image I had in my mind as to shoot in front of a wall. Nope, this is actually just out front of our house. Like, there's brick areas on some of our houses, and so I just put her in front of a little area where there's just a brick wall, and then boom, right out front of our house. So this was a done in 30-second shot, and I like the way, like, this is an f7.1, so I wanted, like, I did not want shallow depth. Again, this goes against the typical type of photos I take all the time, like deeper depth of field. I wanted the background totally sharp and crisp, hard light instead of soft, and and, like, you know, no, just one light source, low power, up close, no ambient light it here at all, and done. That's it. That's all she got. I played around with just a little bit of the angle of the light so that I got kind of the shadow angle I wanted, and also I wanted the nose shadow. I did a few where she's definitely a lot happier, shadows different, but the nose shadow in particular sometimes gets too long and then kind of bleeds with the mouth, and I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. So I chose one where it's just a different nose shadow that's kind of in the place that I wanted it.
I like the photo. In fact, you nailed a bunch of the points that I'm going to address later, because this week's episode is about how to do this. And it's like you went ahead in time and did it. The one thing I don't like the look on your wife's face.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. It looks like somebody just cut her off at the gas station.
Yeah. No, she's like, I don't look that happy. It's kind of dark and moody. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's what you're getting this week. And and again, I thought it suited the black and white too. So no, I'm good with the facial expression. But I really like how the wall pops. Like, that was kind of the way with the hard light. And maybe again, this is one of the things I noticed, because I never shoot hard light, was when I shot the hard light, one light like this straight up on the wall, like a surface that doesn't really reflect much. I was like, wow, like that looks cool. Like, the wall looks cool. I'll definitely do this again. Probably with one of my kids, Sarah, the most cooperative one when it comes to photos, and try something again in the same spot, because it's super easy access for me.
It's counterintuitive. Well, we'll talk about that actually in the episode. So what did it look like in color? Why'd you go black and white?
She's wearing a black jacket and the scarf is blue. So the brick is red. It looks fine. Again, it's very similar photo. I just thought the mood of it was more black and white, and I showed my wife in black and white and color and said, hey, which do you prefer? She said black and white, and that's all it was. So it looks fine, but there's not a ton of color here anyway, so
and the red brick is always looks nice, but if she doesn't pop out of the red brick, then you have to go black and white's the right choice.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a look at mine. This is my daughter against a wall, just like I told you to do.
Mm-hmm. And this is, when I saw your photo, this is kind of what my instinct is normally to do, is to put the person in shade, get a nice even light, shoot kind of again a softer kind of looking photo, and that I specifically didn't do it. Now I really like your photo. I think that the background is awesome. Like just the color combinations, the light, her pose, everything is really good. But yeah, this is typically what I would probably try to do. This is the kind of lighting situation that I would usually go for. So I'm happy that we did such different things this time.
Yeah, this was my second shot at it. Actually, earlier in the day that she wiped out, earlier, just before she wiped out, I took a different shot of her against some like a stone wall, and I didn't like it very much. But I was, you know, I wasn't sure if I'd get cooperation later in the week, so I took kind of a backup first, right?
Yeah,
my what if shot. But then I grabbed this at her kindergarten. They had like a little shed. I went to pick her up, you know, one day, and they're out in the yard playing in the snow. And I said, "Oh, before we go, just run over here." Because I had brought my camera because they were doing sledding at kindergarten. And so I said, oh, great, I'll get some of those. And then, oh, boy, while we're here, go stand in the shade. You can see it's open shade. And then the bottom left-hand corner, you can see where the sun's coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is about, I don't know, it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that, that we shot this one. And just like that wall, like I just like that the background, and it because it's, you know, kind of it's color, but it's muted, and then she pops because of what all her super bright colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really good, very simple, and really good, and it's almost, the background's almost too good. and then I find that like I spend a lot of time sort of staring at the texture and the little nuances of the fence. Mm-hmm. But because she's got, like you say, so many colors, you do definitely come back to the person in the photo. But yeah, I get sort of mesmerized in that background. So it's a really cool fence. Definitely like that as a background.
Right. And and very simple to do. I mean, like this was the 40D again with the I brought the 50 millimeter lens.
Okay. You don't usually do that combo.
That's a combo I never do. And it's funny that you say that, because I thought of that on the way out the door. I was like, wow, I never do this. Like I would typically just bring my 5D Classic with the 85 on it.
Right.
Which for all intents and purposes is the same setup, roughly.
Right. Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my 40D because I'm going to go out and be in the snow, and I cannot kill that thing. As try as I might, I can't bury it. And so I take it everywhere, and that's why I said I'll take the 50 in that. So that's what that is. No lighting, just ambient light. Probably like an f/5.6, similar to yours. You did a 5.6/8 split. And boom, that was it. Very, very simple to do.
Great.
With that, our topic this week is how to do this. Like there's actually, I thought about it, and I thought, oh, this will be a very, very short subject. Turns out I couldn't stop making notes.
Oh, no.
There's so much involved, believe it or not.
Oh, no.
But the reason, I know, you can go in the other room and maybe, you know, call Don and see what he's doing.
I was going to have a snack. Can I have a snack? I'll try to keep the crunching down.
We talked a couple weeks ago about the fad of 3D.
Yes.
And that's kind of what made me think of this, because it's a technique I use now and then. I don't use it all the time. I wish I did, but I don't. My instinct is to go the other way, is to get a deep background. But in 3D, one of the things that I failed to mention was like the difference in the different kind of style of 3D. Most 3D films, as far as I'm told, having never been to one, but most of them, they try to bring the action into your face.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
I'd say so, yeah. I've seen many 3D films.
Okay. Now, I'd heard that the movie Life of Pi, which again I didn't see, was different, because what it did was focusing on creating a 3D world that went into the screen.
Hmm.
Versus coming right out at you. So it opened you up to this whole new world, which in that respect I thought was pretty cool. So using that space instead of right in your face. Now, when you take a two, how does that relate to photography?
It doesn't.
It does absolutely.
Okay.
We most often look at ways to create depth in a 2D image. We got width and height, And what we try to do is simulate depth through all the different... We talked about it years ago on our show.
Yeah.
About the different ways to do it. So I'm not going to go over those again. Go back and listen. But how do you do... You know, that's what we try to do is basically create a world into the photo.
Right.
We don't ever bring it out to our subject. That's not how it works.
Correct.
So that's my instinct. Generally, without even thinking about it, my default setting is add depth. Okay, pull your subject out.
I agree, 100%. Even with the whole wall thing, it's like I thought. Oh, I normally would sort of turn it at an angle instead of shoot that flat. I would turn that. I use walls all the time, but generally not speaking back right against it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always, and even if you are going to shoot flat, you pull the subject out, a little bit blurred. Now all of a sudden you've got that depth.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we don't want to do that.
Okay.
Sometimes we want to go the other way and flatten it right out. Why?
Because it's different.
Oh, interesting. I hope not.
I did the hard light this week because I wanted to do something different.
Yes, but you started out that way, but then you came on something that, oh wow, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
But I don't like art that is only art because it's different. I like it to be something. Like
experimental? What about experimental?
If it's good, it's good. If it's just experimental, usually it's laziness.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm lazy though.
No, but I'm not talking about that. I went to film school, so I know what experimental art is.
Oh, okay? I thought you were going to say you know what lazy is, because everybody at film school wakes up at noon and munchies at 2 in the morning.
Yes, that is true. That is absolutely true. Nobody has kids, that's why.
That's true.
No, but that's the thing, is that that's more often than not, I found that the experimental stuff was just... people being lazy and not wanting to do it and calling it art, and it was really terrible. It wasn't good at all.
Okay.
But these techniques, now, that's the funny thing, is that if you just do this as a default, like if you don't even consider, if you're not thinking about how to make your subject look good against a flat background like this, it's going to look terrible. It's going to be lazy, and it's going to be, you're going to really fumble this technique.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you put some thought into it and do something that looks good, you're going to get great results. Like, I happen to like the results that we got this week. And it's something I've done in the past, and I've liked those photos too. And I've actually posted a few so that we can kind of illustrate the different reasons to use this technique. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what you're doing... pull your subject out from the background and use the depth. That's the better default.
Right.
However, let's make it look cool. So, I wrote down a bunch of tips.
Okay, hit me. Tip number
first one. Yeah. Well, first one is look for an interesting background.
Okay.
Okay. Something that looks cool without distracting from your subject.
Okay. Fences.
Fences are good. You know what I wrote down? I did not know what your shot would be. I wrote down brick walls. Brick walls are fantastic.
Yes, I agree.
Wedding photographers, if you go from the spring until the fall on a Saturday, pretty much every Saturday you can walk around Yale Town in Vancouver where all the bricks are, and they're all the weddings are shooting down there.
Yeah.
Wildly popular. I wrote barns. Barns are favorite.
Yeah.
Because of this, the whole distressed look. Anything distressed, like this, the shed that my daughter's leaning against. It's just that whole distressed look to it. It adds to your photo usually.
Absolutely.
So that's something to look for. But it doesn't necessarily, except for you said it distracted. But it doesn't.
No, it's again, it's not really a distraction.
I didn't take it personal.
Yeah.
But it's interesting in its own right. Now, if I just took this picture of the shack, you probably wouldn't care. It needs an anchor, but it doesn't distract. That's the main thing. This is a great opportunity to use negative space.
Mm-hmm.
If you fill the frame with your subject and just have a hint of background right up against it, chances are it's not going to look too good. It might. Because I can't tell you what looks good in art all the time. There are exceptions to everything. But generally, you're going to want to include that background that you found.
Right.
And create the negative space so that you have that interesting background that you can look at, and then your eye goes to your main subject. That's what you want here.
Okay.
I wrote down colors, too, because you did black and white, so it didn't matter. But I try to look for colors that are going to contrast the subject. The last thing you want is someone just camouflaged into the wall.
Right.
Unless you want a camouflage shot, then you do.
Maybe they're in a in the army.
In that case, yes. I try to stay away from odd patterns.
Okay.
Usually, or like a graffiti wall or something like that. Doesn't always. Sometimes it can work, but you really have to work hard for that to work. So I like to go, you know, kind of random stuff like this wall, or the most I like to do with patterns is the brick.
Okay.
Because it's not distracting. Like there's a uniformity to it. If the bricklayer was a decent bricklayer, and most of them are, you're going to have that uniform look to it.
Right.
And so you're not going to be looking at the pattern so much. Right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I don't know why, and in this case it's coincidence. The wall was blue. I happen to like blues for backgrounds.
Okay.
You can see there's actually a shot of my daughter from a couple years ago. I included, and there she is in front of a blue door.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing, and that was the same, just similar kind of snapshot, just not lit, just on the shady side of the building. I just saw that kind of cool door that stopped being painted at one point on the left-hand side, and I really liked that look, and had her pose in front of that. Instead of pulling her out, just, hey, go stand next to there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I like doors, too.
Yep. The other one was, if you look at the one of her sitting in her old room, that's at our old apartment, with the purple wall.
Yeah.
I think what really makes that to me, besides the window light, that's all window lights, 100% didn't like that. Again, I like the shadow that's being cast. I like but most importantly, I like the texture on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like just that little hint of texture really breaks up what otherwise just be kind of, you know, could be kind of bland.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But pulling her out in this photo, out from the wall, it wouldn't be the same photo. There's right. something about having her against that wall that creates that shadow that she creates. I mean, that otherwise, without her, with her out, that shadow is not hitting the wall.
Right.
So. And the other two are two shots I took a couple years apart. One of my daughter, one of my son, in the exact same spot at Stanley Park.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I wanted them right up against it. Now, this is a rare time when I'll use something that, it's not a pattern, but the letters. I just happen to like it, but even though you don't see all the letters, you can kind of fill in the blanks on your own and know that it's Stanley Park. And I just like them up against that red wall. And they kind of stick out from that red wall.
Yeah, I think it looks good.
Not a wall so much.
It's a fire truck, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fire truck at the playground.
Yeah.
All right. So what I try to do is I make the background an element of the photo.
A character.
Sort of, but it's not. It's definitely not the subject. Like if you're shooting a landscape of a valley or something like that, or a forest, then your background is your subject, essentially.
Right.
In this case, it's an element, but it's not the main subject.
Mm-hmm. It's a sidekick.
Yes. Is the Ed McMahon
of
photography. I should have said Hank.
I thought it was Goose to Maverick.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think, no, Maverick was the sidekick.
No, he wasn't the
sidekick. Cougar.
To Cougar, maybe, yeah.
Cougar and Merlin, man.
Yeah.
Have you not seen that movie? Come on.
Come on. I heard they're proposing a second one, or
that's
maybe,
right here. Okay, yeah. Come on, come on. No. I was sort of thinking of Hank from Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, back on topic. The key to a good background, though. Any idea what the key to a good background is?
Be near my front door.
Yes. Yes. Ideally, it's within a 3-foot radius of your computer. That is the best. The best background. No, but when you're shooting a subject against a background that you're pushing, it's going to be right up there. It's going to be an element. It's going to be in focus. The key is find a very interesting background.
Yes.
Or a very boring background. Don't go in between.
Okay.
It's karate do yes or karate. There's no karate do maybe. You get right. Squished just like grape.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
So that's what I look for.
Okay.
And you nailed something though without me telling you. You know, and it was just your instinct, which I'm very proud of you
All right.
for this.
All right. I want to hear. Sounds, what are you proud of me for?
Your depth of field. You thought you considered your depth of field and thought, well, I don't want to shoot this at 1.8.
Right.
Because even though my wife's pretty close, you know, right up against the wall, if I shoot her, you know, her eye in focus, the wall is going to be out of focus.
Right.
It's not going to be out of focus enough, though, is it?
No.
That's a problem. You ever do woodwork?
No.
Okay. If you did.
Okay.
Let's say you set your table saw. You know what a table saw is, right?
I do.
So let's say you're going to cut a 45 on the table saw. You're going to rip something on the table saw with a 45, and then you go to.
Is the 45 an angle or is this the size of the blade?
It's an angle, but a 45 is actually a bad one because you're going to notice that. Okay. But let's say I don't think you can actually cut a 45. Might be tight depending on your table saw.
Let's call your dad.
I'm not going to. 45 is probably a bad one. But let's say you're going to cut something at an 80, like 10 degrees in. So just off of 90.
Sure.
You have to cut something. So you cut it.
I'm right there with you.
Right. Now you walk away. You don't leave your blade at a 10 degree angle or a 5 degree angle because it's not perfectly straight.
Right.
And next time you come in there, you'll cut with it. You'll cut and you'll make 8 cuts before you realize it's not perfectly straight.
Okay, yeah, that's bad.
Either put it back to 90 or crank it way over so it's obvious.
Right, okay.
Same thing with your background here. Either make it razor sharp in focus,
mm-hmm.
or way out of focus.
Which is 100% agree.
Okay, well, you did it.
Yeah, and I thought for the same reason. I'm like, hey, let the wall's a player here. We want it to be in focus.
Right. I typically try to keep it in focus. I would never shoot that at 1.4 and see what, because even then you're not going to get it out of focus enough. So five, six is a starting point.
And I think again, because this isn't the typical way that I would shoot, I would usually put her at an angle to the wall, and then if I was shooting way out of focus, then it works because that's got depth and it goes more mm-hmm. and more out of focus as you go away. So I think that's the key takeaway here. If you are shooting flat like this, then of course, yeah, you want it to be in focus for the reasons you just described. But as soon as you go to an angle, then it's perfectly acceptable, if not preferred, to go way out of focus.
Right. The type
agree?
Of light-
Do you agree?
I said, right. I said, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You said it in a way that could have been a little bit patronizing.
You sound like my wife now.
Yeah. No, I'll yell it from upstairs.
I heard what you said.
I want to sound but... like your wife. I'll yell it from the other bedroom that she sleeps in.
Yeah. Well, what are you, Lucy and Desi? Come on. No, we have two separate beds in the same room.
Right.
Come
okay.
on.
They're on the other side of the room, though, right?
We're still in the honeymoon phase. Okay. No, but see, okay, the type of lighting here matters, too. Now, what I'm about to say flies in the face of what you did, but that's good for you. Generally, soft light here will yield the best results.
Okay.
Because your subject is close to the background, right? So you're going to see shadows. That's
yes,
going to happen.
Absolutely.
Harsh shadows are no good.
Okay.
Unless it's magic hour.
Mm.
Then you're going to get great light, and the shadow will lend itself to your image. It's going to be awesome. And at magic hour, the shadows, it all comes together, I find. Not magic hour, but like the couple minutes before magic hour, while the sun is just dipping below.
Okay.
Just before it dips below, you get that beam. Now, the other and less is in this situation when you can control the light.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just noon o'clock on a Sunday and you couldn't control it, you couldn't decide where the nose shadow was going to fall, you probably wouldn't get very good results.
Right.
But you chose a very difficult technique and nailed it because you knew enough to control where it's going to go.
Right.
So that's a situation of, yeah, then you do use hard light because it will add to the image. My only nitpick,
mm-hmm.
and it's something to consider and then, you know, ignore completely.
Yeah, it's my move, yeah.
I might have either had the light come from the other side of the camera or shifted over so that your wife was on the edge, like towards the third mark
mm-hmm.
of the image, and then have the shadow fall off to the outer edge instead of falling into the middle. And that's going to give you a great negative space in the middle and then the shadow falling off away instead of it being a center point.
Mm.
That's nitpicking.
Mm. I see. I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Again, it might work out like that you like the shadow dead center. Again, I can't tell you how to do art.
Mm. You just did, though, yeah.
I just tell you what I like, what I would do.
Okay.
The proper way.
Yeah, right. The right way.
So.
The good way. That. Yeah.
So if you want to do this without lighting, go to the north side of the building.
Right.
In the northern hemisphere. And obviously flip it when you're down south because that's where the open shade is going to be.
Okay.
And ideally, you're going to get the open shade and, if you're lucky, a little bounce or reflection or something off a window or the building across the street, and you're going to get something cool on your background.
Okay.
Or at least some fill on your subject.
Yeah.
Again, if you're using a flash, you want to be conscious of the throw. You know, a small light in close will, like you did, it will create it can create a spotlight effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were to throw a snoot on that, your wife's going to be well lit. The shadow will be great, and it won't light the whole wall.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one is correct. I won't get too erudite on that one, but that's a cool effect. So you by changing that the zoom and the snoot and the distance, you can control how much of the wall is lit, how much of your subject, and where that all goes to.
Right,
and that's pretty fun to do. One of the things I like about shooting on against a wall like this is that oftentimes, especially at different times of the day, you can get shadows being thrown across there too, so it kind of breaks up the wall a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if you're getting in a hard light. If you're getting the soft light, everything's soft, don't worry about shadows aren't a concern. But that brick wall we talked about in Steveson, for example.
Right,
which none of our viewers know.
Yeah,
but
it's a brick wall.
It faces it. If you have your shoulders against it, looking out, you're looking west. And as the sun drops, it kind of goes behind some buildings, and so you go from getting a nice well lit wall to just different shapes, and essentially you have nature's or man made, but cookies just throwing across the wall, and in the span of 10 minutes, you're going to get a whole bunch of different looks that you can use to your benefit.
Right.
So that's something else to look for.
Yeah.
I like that, or when a window is across the street and kind of scatters light in different kind of like sort of smatters light all across the wall and breaks it up. That also looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Any questions?
No.
It was more than you thought, right?
It's a lot. A lot of info to digest.
Yeah. As a fair bit all at once. The one other small tip that I was going to throw in was this for some reason, I don't know why, this is the opportunity. This is a great opportunity to experiment with your subject looking off axis.
Okay.
Like sometimes I like them looking at the camera, but these are times where oftentimes just kind of looking a different direction somehow works.
Yeah, I agree. I actually did that with a few of the other photos. I had my wife intentionally kind of look off axis, which I really liked. Unfortunately, because I never changed the position of my light, I did mine, really quickly in sequence. It completely changes where the nose shadow goes, which is what I didn't like and why mm-hmm. I ended up going with this position. Because when she slightly turns her head more, based on where I have the light, it casts a much longer shadow.
Right.
Yeah, so that's one thing to be. If I was, you know, doing this for a paying client, and I was willing to spend more time to kind of work with the shadow, I could then change the axis of the light to get the shadow back where I wanted, but was not the case. But I completely agree with what you're saying. The off axis can look really good in this situation.
Do it then. Next time,
do it.
Okay, next week's challenge.
Male boudoir.
The funny thing was, when I was Googling it while you were talking, I came up, the first head I came up with, they were calling it Doudoir.
Oh, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Now I actually legitimately think it's awesome. Just the name. I'm going to get a shirt.
Well, you have to buy it for some guy in Hungary.
No, that's probably true, yeah.
He's already selling those.
Doudoir. All right. Can we do a whole episode on that? For the album art alone.
You make notes. Oh, okay. Well, you're shooting that one, Mr. Costanza.
Nobody wants to see that. Now, what's the photo challenge?
I was thinking, because we mentioned cookies, let's shoot with cookies.
Cookies. Shoot with a cookie.
You know what that is?
I know what that is.
Okay. All listeners, right. Listeners, if you don't know, listen back. We did an episode on what a cookie is.
Yeah.
Basically, something between your light and the subject that breaks it up and causes some sort of a fun shadow.
Great.
So, cookies, that's what we're going to do.
All right.
Websites. Adam, where can people find your photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And your stuff.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find links and photos and everything we just talked about. And the Amazon links.
Great.
If they work.
Yeah,
if they work. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.